The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I shall fear no evil.
That's good news! TKO victory!
I will chop him to bits. You're gonna see a boxing masterclass.
White is a more dangerous guy than Deontay Wilder.
I will knock a mother out!
The heavyweight title is on the line.
Here's a couple of our featured upcoming NHL matchups. Thursday night, two of the best in the East, the Leafs and Lightning. And then ABC Saturday matinee, Bruins and Rangers. That one's available on ESPN Plus as well. On this morning, we welcome you back to Get Up, live as always from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Our cup runneth over. And I don't just mean with Greenbergs, but with my Uncle Seth, no relation here. But an unbelievable night in the NBA last night, an unbelievable story from the National Football League a week before the draft. And my countdown colleagues are on the way. Do not miss Stephen A., Michael Wilbon, and Jalen Rose live in our next hour. Cindy, let's roll it. We are jam-packed, and hour number two of Get Up is coming your way right now with the Celtics, who have KO'd KD through two. Does he have an answer, or are the Nets all done? Meanwhile, oh, what a finish. Fabulous Philly. If you didn't see what happened north of the border, you aren't going to believe it. And to the NFL we will go with the enormous story. Debo Dunn in San Francisco. He says he wants out. What happens now? Will he be dealt in the next week before the draft? We've got answers to all those questions as we get up starting right now. Seth, game of the night. Comeback of the night. Celtics, Marcus Smart before the game. Honored as the defensive player of the year. And he was dressed for the occasion. Congratulations to him. He deserved it. Meanwhile, first half, Nets offense looked a little better.
Better movement off the basketball. Good back cut right there by Durant. Find him, move him in the action. You get him open. You don't have a body on him.
They led by as many as 17, but late in that second quarter, the Celtics defense started to take over.
Active hands, commit a second defender, take away his space. Good job right there by Tatum getting deflection, getting out in transition.
And look at the good, solid defense on Kyrie.
Yeah, Kyrie. 1-for-7 in the second half, absolutely took him out of the game. Once again, committing a second defender. Don't let the other team's two best players beat you.
That big three from Tatum there. Celtics down 10 at the half, but felt like they had the momentum. And then Jaylen Brown was great.
Jaylen Brown was absolutely terrific in the second half, playing downhill, getting to the basket, playing to the body of the shot blocker.
But this is the story. Durant struggling.
Take away that neutral space. Active hands. Great defense by Grant Williams right there.
Yeah, he was really tough last night. And by that, I mean bad. There's Jaylen Brown. Tough. That's an 11-0 Boston run. And then Durant, he missed all 10 of his shots in the second half.
Yeah, the ability to switch. That's a jumper that usually Durant makes. Going to his left, pull up, 1-2, pull up. All right. Struggled making shots, being comfortable offensively.
Just over 2 minutes, Jason Tatum with a big bucket. He had 19. You saw Jaylen Brown. He had 22. Marcus Smart, defensive player of the year, makes the big offensive play, and he knows that one seals it. The Celtics take a 2-0 lead. They come from 17 down to win game two, and the story here is Kevin Durant. He may be the best scorer ever, but he has shot under 40% and committed 6 turnovers in both games to start this series. First time in his career, regular season or playoffs, that he's had back-to-back games that bad. KD, what?
Keep grinding. You know, I'm going to turn the ball over. I'm going to shoot the ball a lot in the playoffs. I mean, play a lot of minutes. It's on me to just finish it and figure it out. They're doing a good job of trying to cut off my scoring, you know. 2 or 3 people could test, or somebody there in the lane when I'm driving. So they're doing a good job. They're going to need to figure it out.
All right, Brian Windhorst is up early with us here, and we appreciate it covering out in Phoenix for us. If you were to put your finger on the one reason, Windy, that KD has struggled really in an unprecedented fashion through the first two games of this series, what is it?
He is absolutely getting handled by the length and strength of the Celtics. In all of his years in the NBA, all of the playoff series he has faced, he has never quite faced a defensive team that has three or four defenders that can really affect him with their size and their strength. And they definitely have played to this game plan. And the thing is, Greeny, they're not afraid to foul him. They're not afraid to be physical with him. He got 20 free throws in game two. 20. That would indicate a game where Kevin Durant was dominant, but it was actually the inverse. It was Kevin Durant getting pushed around, and his field goal percentage showed that.
Yeah, I mean, you see the number on your screen, 4 for 17 from the floor, 0 for 10 in the second half. Seth, I mean, coaches, you see things so differently than everyone else. How do you describe what they are doing defensively?
It was strength, length, and scheme. The scheme has been terrific defensively. Crowd him, get up into his neutral space, add a second defender, make him uncomfortable. Good pressure on the basketball. But then what do you see? You see two defenders. They're corralling him. They're getting into his body. Good job of deflections right there. When you get deflections, you get out in transition. You play ahead of the defense. Make him uncomfortable by being physical, exactly what Wendy said, but also commit a second defender. Watch him right here. He has the basketball. They corral him. They invade his neutral space and watch the backside defender. He doesn't see it because they have poor spacing. The key is you cannot have him have the basketball and have four guys on the perimeter standing watching. You got to move the ball, move people, get him in the action. The defensive game plan by Coach Udoka has been absolutely terrific, getting underneath him and getting underneath Kyrie Irving. Between those two guys, 1 for 17 in the second half.
Yeah.
Never an uncontested shot. What is playoff coaching? Take the other team's best players and take them out of the game. Do not allow those guys to beat you. That's what this defensive game plan has done. Physicality, length, but scheme.
Playoff coaching is also having a counter move to the moves that are made against you. So as they head home to Brooklyn now, what is the Nets' counter? How do they get themselves back in this?
They've got to move the ball and move people. They got to look more like the Golden State Warriors and less like the stagnant Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, it's Kyrie Irving, it's Kevin Durant with the basketball, four guys spacing out. Everyone knows where their help is coming from. Everyone knows where the double's coming from and in their rotations. Now if you move the ball, move the people, get those guys the ball in the action, now all of a sudden your help isn't set. The offensive game plan in the first quarter was terrific, but once they faced adversity, they reverted back to basically standing and watching. When you stand and watch your two best players make plays with help, they're not going to make plays. And yes, Wendy's right. Size, strength, but scheme is also.
Wendy, you have told me many times that I was wrong and the Nets were not going to make this run all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals or into the NBA Finals. I haven't given up yet, but I will admit that I am wavering. So you tell me, how does Brooklyn get back in this series? There is some talk about Ben Simmons. You can include that in the conversation if you see it. How do the Nets get back in this?
When I talk to scouts about what's going on with the Celtics right now, Greeny, they're talking about how there's no pressure on the rim from the Nets. Boston has no fear at all of the backside. They have got to get some schemes, even if it's just a lob game with Nick Claxton or something, to force Boston to even worry about that. They go right up on Durant with no worries about that. The other thing is, I think that the minute load is an issue here. The longer this series goes, the minutes are piling up because the Nets, because of their positioning, had to play so hard down the stretch of this season to even get into the seventh seed. Durant has averaged 42 minutes over the last 11 games. Some of the turnovers and the mistakes were fatigue mistakes. And, you know, you're right, Seth. Their offense faded in the end of the game. It might have been because Kyrie and Durant were fatigued down the stretch.
Certainly a possibility. We will see. They go home on Saturday night, and they will play Game 3. We'll have it for you here on ESPN. Meanwhile, let me get you to the finish of the night, the finish of the year. Shot of the, what can you say? Let's take it Sixers-Raptors, all right? So you know that Philly's trying to put this series away last night. Joel Embiid was spectacular. James Harden fouls out of the game late here, Seth.
And all of a sudden, you think Toronto were in pretty good shape right there, and that is a foul. It's amazing. Harden, he never committed a foul in his lifetime.
Yes, but in that case, he committed his sixth, but Precious Achiuwa, who he fouled, would miss both free throws. So Philly gets it back, 10 seconds left, chance to win, and they wind up with a Joel Embiid three and then an offensive rebound, and they can't get anything to go.
Yeah, I'd like to see if he could have gotten posted up, but that's a shot Embiid can make. Great job of Tobias Harris getting to the offensive glass, couldn't finish.
A little free hoops.
And so we go to overtime. That's right. Again, Toronto basically playing for their season at home in an 0-2 hole. 2:42 to go in the overtime. Sixers trailing by one. Embiid had 33 and 13.
I like Embiid in the middle of the floor. It's one of the few times that Toronto didn't double him in the middle of the floor.
And then here's how the finish happened. So Toronto ties the game on a free throw. Sixers have it. You see the time remaining. 6:54. You see Doc Rivers sprinting up the sideline to get a timeout called, which he does with 2.6 seconds remaining. And here's what happened. The call from Kate Scott on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Again, just 0.9 on the shots. Embiid turns, fires for the win. Joel Embiid! And the Sixers take game three here in Toronto.
An unbelievable finish, an unbelievable play. Absolute silence in the arena in Toronto as Embiid knocks down a shot. Remember when Kawhi beat them in that building and Embiid's reaction, and now he hits that one. So before we do anything else, Doc Rivers, the coach of the Sixers, for all the winning he's done, he gets criticized sometimes. I want you to hear, SportsCenter did a terrific tape. I'm going to play it for you. You're going to hear Doc Rivers calling the play in the huddle, and you are going to see exactly how it played out.
George, this is you. Danny, you're taking the ball out. On the hit. Bam. Right when he gets past you, George, you're running out. Tobias, you're picking him. And then you're popping. All right?
That's exactly how they diagrammed it to get Embiid an open shot. And as you and I were watching that during a break, you loved it.
Oh, absolutely terrific. Niang and Tyrese Maxey made a little Iverson cut over the top. Obviously, the defense has to chase those two guys. Usually, they would screen it for Tobias Harris and slip Embiid to the front of the rim. They flipped that. All of a sudden, now, Tobias Harris was the screener for Embiid. Embiid came off of that versatility of Embiid and knocks down that big jumper. Absolutely terrific execution. And watch Tobias Harris, 12 right at the elbow right there. He's open on the slip also, but most times you would expect that screen, that pin in for Harris. They flipped those two guys' positions, made it hard to match up with. Great, not good, great late game execution in the playoffs. Toronto did it in the right-hand corner a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. Obviously, right there, Doc Rivers draws up a great
And it's so great to have a coach in here with me today, because you were making the point earlier, and I'll just share it with the audience here, that one of the reasons it works is because that's not the guy you'd expect. You would expect Harris to be the guy they're opening up an open shot for because of his shot-making ability.
It would be Harris or Maxey. Big on small screen, run him off of that little curl, but instead they bring him beat off it. He knocks down a big
Wendy,
jump.
How
great
about
footwork.
It? What an unbelievable finish last night. What a win for the Sixers and what it means.
Yeah, so I was texting with a couple of head coaches last night after they saw this play. They were bringing up what Seth just said. Nick Nurse, who's one of the best coaches in the NBA, was fooled. He pulled Fred VanVleet down underneath because he was afraid that Embiid was going to go to the rim. This is not a new play. This is an old play. It's been run in the NBA for years. In fact, Ty Lue, Doc's one of his best pupils, runs this play on this out-of-bounds play often. And if you had told Nick Nurse and the Raptors that they were going to try to flash Joel Embiid toward the corner on a catch, turn, and shoot with 0.9 left, even if he was unguarded, they probably would have taken that play as opposed to trying to guard him going to the rim. Just a brilliant play in a tight situation by a brilliant player.
And so in this case, in the coaching matchup, it was the doctor over the nurse, as I make that joke again. Quickly, come on, it's not that funny. I appreciate the laughs.
No.
But, Wendy, you know, it's up early in Phoenix. Anything might seem funny. Seriously, the Sixers were the team we were most worried about going into the first round. Are we no longer worried, Brian Windhorst?
No, they still have some serious issues to deal with. When James Harden was out of this game in the fourth quarter, their half-court offense was a mess. Tyrese Maxey wasn't able to do it. The reason this is a 3-0 series is because Scottie Barnes went down. That was a significant injury. He wasn't able to play in this game. Obviously, this game goes to overtime with no Scottie Barnes. I believe that this is 2-1 if Barnes is playing. But absolutely, Philly should be heartened, not only by the fact that they're almost certainly going to advance, but that they are showing excellent on court chemistry, and they are going to survive this issue without Matisse Thybulle being able to play in Toronto. That was also a major factor that was a worry.
And it will not be a factor again the remainder of these playoffs, we would not expect. Wendy, you are the real MVP getting up early for us in Phoenix today. And I've got the countdown crew coming up here live in 18 minutes. Stephen A., Michael Wilbon, Jalen Rose will join me live 9:30 Eastern all across the NBA playoffs and more. Don't miss it. That should be great fun. In the meantime, we also have an enormous story from the NFL next. Debo done in San Francisco. He says he wants out. So what happens now? Will he be dealt in the next week? That answer is next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Do not miss it. In 13 minutes, my countdown crew is reunited early in the morning. Stephen A., Michael Wilbon, Jalen Rose, all with me live 9:30 Eastern. So 12 minutes from now here on ESPN, covering all of your NBA playoff action. In the meantime, enormous football news. Debo Samuel telling our Jeff Darlington that he has asked the 49ers to trade him. Samuel declined to offer specific reasons, but acknowledged he has informed the team of his desire to leave. So we looked at the landscape and we said there are teams that have both the draft capital and the cap space to make a deal like this. And they would include the Saints, the Chiefs, the Jets, the Packers, the Cowboys. Fascinating, obviously, for such an incredibly important and dynamic weapon. And we have my general manager, Mike Tannenbaum, and the former QB, RG3, here to break it down. Mike T., let me start with you. So how does this work? As we look through those teams that we just put up there on that list, what makes the most sense to you, and how does that team orchestrate a deal right now with San Francisco?
Greedy, it's the Jets, and it could happen on the clock, literally next Thursday night during the first round of the draft. They could reach an agreement in principle with the agent of Debo Samuel, and simply, if the 49ers like a player, let's say at the 10th pick, they can literally make the trade on the clock. We did that a decade ago with Mark Sanchez, where we traded picks and players to the Browns while the Browns were on the clock. We drafted Sanchez. So if I'm San Francisco and I can't solve Debo Samuel's contract situation and there's a player I love at 10, this could be the best opportunity for them. So they'll be incredible drama as the top 10 unfolds next Thursday night, assuming nothing happens between now and then.
Right. To be clear, you're not just saying this for me, right? I mean, you really mean that the Jets, RG3, let's talk about it. But they have a young quarterback in New York right now in Zach Wilson. But this is a rebuilding or building team. They have a lot of draft picks. They have a long way to go. Does going out and spending a bunch of money, which they would have to do on a receiver at this point, in your mind, RG3, do you think it makes sense?
Oh, Grinny, it makes complete sense. Look, the Jets were already in the running for Tyreek Hill. So the Jets and any other wide receiver needy team out there should already have their planes ready to go pick up Debo as he tries to Debo his way out of San Francisco. Debo Samuel is not just a number one wide receiver. He's a number one catch and run wide receiver as well. He led the league in yards per catch at 18.3, but he was 65th in the league at average yards per target at 8.8 yards per target. That's a whopping 10 yards of yak per catch for Debo Samuel. So if I'm a quarterback on a team that's going after Debo if he gets traded, I don't really care if he doesn't want to play all these different positions, because he's such a versatile number one wide receiver, can play inside, outside, move around, and is a very smart, cerebral player. He's going to take so much pressure off of the quarterback and allow you to throw that 5 yards shallow and see him take it 60 yards to the house.
Okay, so look. I love it. You don't have to sell me any further. That said, Mike T, when I look at the situation, and I understand they're rivals, so maybe this feels less likely, but I look at Green Bay, which is a team that is going year to year with Aaron Rodgers. The Devontae Adams thing, I think, took a lot of people by surprise. So that's a team that might be Deebo Samuel away from winning the Super Bowl. How does that one sound to you?
I completely agree. Every day, if we were wearing the Packers, we wake up and say, does this help us beat the Rams? Does this help us beat the Bucks? Those are the two other teams we're competing with. And Deebo Samuel may get them over the top. And again, if you go back a couple years ago, the Saints with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, same situation. Let's win now, push out the cap charges. So I would definitely give up one of those lower first-round picks and maybe a third or something else. Give Deebo that big contract that they had earmarked for Devontae Adams. And again, we have to remember, Greeny, that the most receptions any rookie wide receiver has ever had with Aaron Rodgers is 38. So this really helps them win short term, and something that makes a lot of sense given the way they're currently constructed.
RG3, why do you look that way?
I just think if you're the 49ers, why would you trade your best player to your rival, a team that you have essentially owned over the past couple of years in the playoffs? I look at what Deebo liked on social media, right? The power of social media. It was the Cowboys. Who wouldn't want to go put the star on their helmet, get paid, not have to pay state income taxes, and then go play in Jerry's world for half the year and feel good about it? He would add a lot of star power to that Frisco, Texas team. And Deebo is just calling his shot, and I'm not mad at him. Who wants to pay taxes on all the money they make anyway? Call your shot, young fella. Call your shot.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and it makes sense, obviously, the rivalry piece of it. Let me also throw one more thing into this conversation, Mike T, because on our pre-show call, you made an excellent point about what we should read into the situation if the 49ers actually are willing to trade Deebo Samuel.
I think it's a package deal with Jimmy G. If they trade Deebo Samuel, they are somewhat in a rebuild with a young quarterback in Trey Lance. So to me, Jimmy G's gone. The inverse to me is true as well, though, Greeny, which is if they solve Deebo Samuel, I would bring Jimmy G back. They went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They were in the championship game a year ago. So why not run it back one more time? And I see these players as a package deal. They're either both back or they're both gone. It doesn't make sense to keep one and not the other. So as this Deebo Samuel saga unfolds, I can't imagine that Jimmy G is far behind.
It's fascinating to me, if you think about it, RG3, because the 49ers, in one scenario, they're a Super Bowl, not favorite, that's overstating it, but certainly a Super Bowl contender. They were that close last year. In the other, they're a rebuilding team. It literally, that much hangs in the balance here, Robert.
Oh, yeah, I think that much does hang in the balance. I don't think anyone in San Francisco would look at this as a rebuilding team. But the only way the 49ers can truly lose in this situation with Deebo Samuel is if he holds out and they play hardball and don't trade him, right? Because if you don't have Deebo Samuel as your best player and you don't have any type of assets or players to replace him, that's not going to help you become a better team. Yeah, Deebo might lose out on some money. He might lose out on a year of his career. But if you're the 49ers, wouldn't you rather either have Deebo do everything you can to work it out and play him how he wants to be played, or whatever else is the issue there that only he, his agent, and the 49ers know, or trade him away and get some assets back for him, kind of like the Chiefs did with Tyreek Hill and the Packers did with Devontae Adams. So I think that's the only way they can truly lose in this situation, but obviously they're going to do everything they possibly can to keep Deebo Samuel on the roster, because I'm hearing they do not want to trade him.
All right, fair enough. And speaking of doing everything they possibly can, Tannenbaum, you need to get me John Lynch's number. All right, I'm doing whatever. If I can send a text, a note, a call, a photo, whatever it is that I can do to be of help to this situation. I love that guy, Deebo Samuel, and I don't know a football fan who does not. Guys, awesome. Thank you. In the meantime, back to the basketball we go. And, oh, what an unbelievable night last night in Boston. Are the Nets done? There's so much hoops last night, and we have put together the countdown crew. My compadres are ready to go. Jalen Rose is in our studio. Michael Wilbon has gotten up early out in the desert. And I mean early. If we've gotten Wilbon up this early, then you know we mean business today. So they're on the way. But Jalen, you know we cannot do this without starting with Hembo. Here we go. What is the last NBA champion to lead the league in scoring defense? The Celtics did it this year. Who was the last team to win the title doing it? We'll find out next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Get on up. NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and we begin a very special half hour with this. Jalen Rose, here we go. The Celtics led the NBA in scoring defense this year, and they might win the championship. Who was the last champion who led the league in scoring D?
You ready for this? I was going to try to find a way to give love to Coach Pop, Tim Duncan, and the San Antonio Spurs, but I actually believe it's the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, you talked yourself out of it. It was the Spurs. It was the Spurs. The 07 Spurs who beat LeBron in the finals are the correct answer. Score the... Oh, there's going to be no living with Hembo now. And when I say it's a special half hour, I mean it in every way. Jalen is here. And look who else is with us. Ladies and gentlemen, getting up early this morning.
The OGs!
Michael Wilbon and Stephen A. Smith, my compadres from Countdown, reunited, and it feels so good.
Yes,
we got a full half hour to get into everything. And we start, Jalen, with the comeback of the night. The Nets had a 17-point lead in the first half last night against the Celtics. But Boston coming back. Look at Jalen Brown.
So game one for me with the Celtics winning was about skill. Jason Tatum passing and scoring. Game two was about the defensive will led by Jaylen Brown and the tenacious defense that held KD and Kyrie down the entire evening.
You saw KD dribbling it off his leg. That's Jaylen Brown with another bully ball bucket. Boston making that run. And then Kevin Durant missing here. He was 0-for-10 from the floor in the second half. Worst shooting half of his career, regular season or playoffs. Then Jason Tatum knocking that down. So Brown had 22, Tatum had 19, and Marcus Smart on the night that he was named the Defensive Player of the Year, doing it on the offensive end with a big bucket. And the Celtics have taken a 2-0 lead, coming all the way back from 17 down to win it. And so again, Jalen is here, Michael Wilbon. But Stephen A., I'm going to start with you. The story clearly is Kevin Durant, 0-for-10 from the floor in the second half. He has had back-to-back, the numbers would suggest, the worst consecutive offensive games of his career. Stephen A., what's your reaction?
I'm devastated. That's what I am. I'm in a situation right now where I'm scared to show up for NBA Countdown. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to face Jalen Rose and Mike Wilbon after all this noise that I've been talking about Kevin Durant, the greatest player in the world, and all of that other stuff. I can't say that this morning, and I'm willing to say this. If he continues to play this way, the way that he has looked in games one and two of this series, I can never talk about him being the best player in the world again. This is some alarming stuff that we are witnessing. We are watching a Boston Celtics team get all up in them. I don't want to hear about the blitzing. I don't want to hear about the double teaming. I don't want to hear about any of this other stuff. The fact of the matter is, Kevin Durant, even though Boston is stout defensively, they're the elite defensive team in the game, and Udoka is just showing off about what a great young coach he is. The fact is that Kevin Durant is not seeing something he's never seen before in his career. And in nearly 1,000 games in his NBA career, he has never looked this bad in back-to-back games. These are the playoffs. This is your team. Okay, this isn't a situation in Oklahoma City where you got a guy like Russell Westbrook who's got a strong personality and there's some combativeness going on there that you've got to deal with. This is not heaven, which you were in Golden State with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson as your teammates. You decided to depart. This is your team. This is your franchise. And to go up against the Boston Celtics in the first round, I'm not talking about losses, guys. I'm talking about how he has looked. It is scary how bad Kevin Durant has looked and how humbled he has been in this series thus far. He got to change it. He's got to turn it around. I got to believe he can, but I have never seen Kevin Durant look this bad. I am shell-shocked, and I have nothing to say in his defense, not anything.
because of what I have seen.
Michael Wilbon, how about you?
Stephen A. didn't want to hear about blitzes or double teams, so you damn well going to hear about them. You're going to hear about them right now and on countdown when I text you later today. What did I say to you guys when we picked who we thought was going to win this series? I don't roll with teams that don't play defense. The Nets don't play this kind of defense, and the Boston Celtics are harassing Kevin Durant into these performances. I'm sorry. I know y'all aren't as old as me, but Jalen's going to identify what I'm about to say. This looks like the bad boy Detroit Pistons harassing Michael Jordan early in his career. The great Michael Jordan, who was an MVP-level player then, who Kevin Durant is not the greatest scorer of all time. James Harden is not the greatest scorer of all time. Michael Jordan is. And what did those teams defensively in the playoffs do? And by the way, the Brooklyn Nets, where are the screens? Where's the ball movement? Where's the hard cutting? I told you guys at the start of this, I'm not rolling with a team that doesn't play defense. I'm rolling with a team that does. The Celtics are playing great defense. They are harassing Durant into these numbers. You think he's got to get better? I don't. They've got to get better, Stephen A. The ensemble of the Brooklyn Nets, starting with the coaching staff, trying to figure out ways to free up Kevin Durant. They better get busy right now, or they'll be down 3-0.
But let me get Jalen in real quick.
I want a response to come from the team. The team.
Let me get Jalen in here, and Stephen A., I'm coming right back to you. But Jalen, maybe both can be true. Mm-hmm. Maybe Boston is playing outstanding defense, and Durant needs, if he is the player that we all know him to be, he needs to be better.
You said a word earlier, bully ball. That's what the Celtics are playing against the Nets.
Yeah.
Just think about this. Andre Drummond and Claxton play around 23 minutes, which means Kevin Durant and Bruce Brown are playing minutes at the 4 and 5 for most of the game. So Al Horford and Grant Williams are being so very physical up front with Kevin Durant and whoever else is playing up front, and Daniel Tice as well. Here's a stat that Himbo gave me. When Kevin Durant takes 2 dribbles and shoots the basketball, he's only shooting 25%. Mm. They're doing a great job of keeping their hands in the cookie jar, making him be active defensively and making him work. So I give the Celtics defense a ton of credit. And here's one more thing I want to say. We talk about the Nets not playing D. You know the other thing they don't do? Pass the ball.
Yeah.
And Stephen A., you talked about OKC and not necessarily seeing eye to eye with a strong personality in Russell Westbrook. Well, Kyrie Irving, in a different way, is a strong personality. And if you're going to give me big numbers in game one, you can't disappear in game two. So let's not act like the crowd have a factor for Kyrie's performance, because clearly it did.
Go ahead, Stephen A.
Well, first of all, a couple of things. I'm thrown off by that damn sweater. I just had to say it. I'm thrown off by that damn
sweater.
Okay? We'll talk about that later. I need to know what it is. JRLA. I need to know what it is. That's number one. Number two.
Looks good.
Number two. Look, guys. The question was asked about KD, and here's the reality. Oh, don't you worry. I got all day to get up in Kyrie. Make no mistake about it. I'll get to that. But the point is that when you look at Kevin Durant, guys, are we as much credit as we should justifiably give to the Boston Celtics, Wilbon, Jay Rose? We've seen something like that before. What we haven't seen is Kevin Durant shoot 0-for-10 in the second half. You know that in games after a loss in the playoffs since 2019, this brother has averaged 39 after a playoff loss? This is not something that we're accustomed to seeing from Kevin Durant. So, Wilbon, you're not wrong with what you're saying. I don't disagree with it. It's just a matter of what you prefer to focus on. And what I prefer to focus on is I recognize what Boston is going to give you. I understand how you can lose 2 games to the Boston Celtics considering how they play defense. There is no explanation as to Kevin Durant looking this bad. These 2 games, I challenge anybody to show me back-to-back games where Kevin Durant in his illustrious career has ever looked worse. Ever. It has not happened.
That's right.
He's never been this bad.
The numbers suggest that's absolutely accurate. So, Michael Wilbon, your thoughts here. There's the Kyrie element of it. There's the Nets element of it. There's the Celtics element of it. There's the Ben Simmons hovering over it right now. The drama has a lot of different directions. What do you think of it all, Michael?
It doesn't need to take any direction toward Ben Simmons. I mean, the Ben Simmons is just hype. It's just noise. I mean, even if Ben Simmons was able to contribute for 10 or 12 minutes, if, how significant would that contribution be? I mean, so that to me, set that on the side. Ben Simmons ain't going to change this series. The primary people in this series, and you've talked about it already, of course, are Durant and Kyrie, and they are being harassed by great defense. Will that change when this series moves to Brooklyn in Game 3? I expect it to. I expect it to be better. Listen, I know that on Get Up, this is primarily football talk all the time. This ain't pro football. This is not a one-game deal. This is a series. It's a basketball series. It goes back and forth by design. Teams make adjustments. They better by design. The series is not over. There's no need to sort of cast anybody as completely incompetent or he choked. There's no need for declarations other than so far, the Celtics have played great defense. Does that travel to Brooklyn this week?
Super quick, Stephen A.
How about this declaration? If Brooklyn doesn't win Saturday, when all of us are courtside for countdown, they're going to get swept.
Ooh.
How about that declaration?
True
Did we
story.
Ever dream that we would say that? I got
That's
him in seven. I got him in seven. You had Boston winning the seven.
That's
I'm just
if.
Saying. They, wait, no, I understand that. But with 48 minutes, the next 48 minutes of basketball in this series could tell us whether or not the Brooklyn Nets are going to get swept.
That would really be something. Super quickly,
Jalen
Rose.
Right.
Give me the chess move.
On that, we will agree.
What is the chess move? So the Nets have to make there are adjustments. We think they're being coached by Steve Nash. What adjustment can they make?
Here's the beautiful thing about having superstars. You can put whatever on the board in the huddle. They bring it to life. They're going to need Kevin Durant to be dominant. I'm not even about to give you no Newt Rodney speech. I'm not even about to tell you what Bruce Brown should do, what Andre Drummond should do, what Seth Curry should do. This is about KD and Kyrie. KD had a chance to play with the Splash Brothers. He won two championships with them, got injured, and went to the Nets. He wanted his own squad. Kyrie, the same thing. Was playing with LeBron, was playing with the Celtics. He wanted to be with his own squad. They have it now. So much so that they booted James Harden, added Ben Simmons, and I went Wilbon. I'm rooting for Ben Simmons, but not this year, y'all. I'm not dismissing any of the reports that happened, but he's not going to be a factor in this series. This is about KD and Kyrie.
All right, stay with us. We are just getting rolling here. Take a very short break when we come back. Oh, what a night for Joel Embiid and the Sixers. Shot of the year. Is Philly suddenly the favorite in the East? These guys will answer those questions and more. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Get on up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up with my NBA Countdown compadres in the house, and our next place to stop is this.
Embiid turns, fires for the win. Joel Embiid and the Sixers take Game 3 here in Toronto.
And the crowd is silent. Everybody, mouth shut. Not a peep out of anybody in this building right now.
That's Kate Scott and Ala Abdelnaby from the NBC Sports Philadelphia. And I will let you guys who picked, Stephen A., I'll start with you. You gave Embiid your MVP vote. It's obviously too late for that now, but he had the MVP moment last night. We talked so much about Philly leading into this series. How about them now up 3-0?
Well, listen, I got to give a lot of credit where credit is due. I think Joel Embiid has been sensational. And I got to give my man Wilbon, the godfather, credit because he's been raving about this kid, Maxey. Talked to the Philadelphia 76ers, as I have,
And what you're talking about is the elevation and the progress of a kid that's just astronomical. That Doc Rivers rides him hard just to prepare him for these moments in the postseason. Been riding him hard all season long. Been on him. And this guy is one of the hardest workers. I had one coach tell me, if you find somebody else that works hard on their game, let me know. Because nobody works harder than this kid, Maxey, on improving his game. And he's still learning the NBA game. Yet he goes out there and he performs on a night-in, night-out basis on both ends of the floor. And that's taking a load of pressure off of the one and only James Harden. We expected that James Harden would need to average about 25 to 30 and put up buckets. This was his time to show that he was that man for Joel Embiid and he could help take them to the promised land. Well, guess what? Maxey has shown up. And not only has he shown up to help Embiid in the Philadelphia 76ers, he's done tremendously well for James Harden because now some of the focus has been taken off of James Harden because he's not required to do as much as we thought he would be required to do, all because of Maxey. So the Philadelphia 76ers are no joke, and they could end up advancing very far. We shall see Miami, but this series is over in Toronto, and we know that Miami, is in all likelihood, is next.
All right, so Harden fouled out of that game late last night. And Jalen, quickly, let me come to you just on the play itself. Doc Rivers gets questioned a lot, but we broke it down earlier and Seth Greenberg raving about it. That was a great play they called up in that huddle.
So it's a great play as a Monday morning quarterback. Mm. As a perimeter player in this league, trust me, when your coach draws up a play for your center to shoot a three as a game-winning shot, that better go in. I'm trying to tell y'all, not even from a coaching standpoint or the 14 guys standpoint, that's Tobias Harris setting a staggered screen for his center. Mm-hmm. So Joel Embiid is having a magical year. It was a terrific game-winning shot. And as Stephen A. mentioned, this series is basically over. I can't wait to see how they perform in the next series.
So, Wilbon, that really is my question to you. It's one thing to beat Toronto, and they are decimated. No Scotty Barnes and the rest of that. Do the Sixers look like they have cured all the things that illed them, and are they ready to make the deep run? We wonder if they can do it.
I like the deep run part of that question, Greeny, but you'd never fix everything. I mean, it's game to game. You never fix everything. You're going up against a new challenge defensively if we're looking forward, as the guys just said, with Miami. That's a whole different level defensively, and if those guys are healthy. We saw what Jimmy Butler did the other night. But Joel Embiid, to your point earlier, he MVP moment indeed. Like Stephen A., I think we got this right. I think it's going to be proven. As great as Joker is, Embiid's been doing this all season. He did it the whole time. And I understand that Joker was missing his two best running mates. He hadn't seen them yet. But, you know, Embiid was missing Ben Simmons, too. Until for two-thirds of the season, there was nobody in that role. It was just a void. So Embiid, to me, in some ways, didn't get enough credit for that. But the way Embiid's been playing, Greeny, yeah, they're a threat. They're a serious threat with Maxey playing that way and pressure being off Harden. Harden doesn't have to be Hall of Fame great every night.
Yeah.
Like we probably anticipated he would need to be because, as Stephen A. outlined, the emergence of Maxey, a two-way guy you can count on.
All right, I got 4 minutes left, and I will say this. If you know Michael Wilbon, you know he doesn't get up this early in Arizona just because he loves the rest of this group. He's getting up because the Bulls won last night, and suddenly they are right in this thing. And by the way, this is terrible news. Bucks forward Chris Middleton, such an incredibly important piece of that team, sprained his MCL in the left knee last night in the fourth quarter of what was a four-point Bulls win. We'll get a full update on Middleton, but it doesn't look good. DeMar DeRozan, meanwhile, was brilliant. He scored 41 for the Bulls. They've evened up that series. Games 3 and 4 are Friday and Sunday in Chicago. Michael Wilbon, do the Bulls now, particularly with the terrible news about the injury to Middleton, are they suddenly in a position to win this series and knock out the champs?
Greeny, you know I want that. I mean, you talk about me getting up this morning early. I do love you guys. That's the only reason I'm up this early. Well, that and I couldn't sleep. I was so excited last night after the Bulls held on and closed out that win. So I haven't really been to bed yet. But, I'm not going to make them the favorites. No, just like I think the Phoenix Suns, even though Devin Booker's going to miss the next two games, at least, I think the Suns can still figure out a way to cobble together effort and resources to make up for Booker and win that series. So, Milwaukee, I will say this. They better find some energy. Because the Bulls, in both of those games, after falling behind 9-0, I think it was in game one, they found the energy, the defense, the fight. That's why you have to make the playoffs. That's why I've been telling people in Chicago, there were some people at the end of the season when the Bulls had, you know, had lost 15 to 22. Say, oh, they should just be in the lottery. No, they shouldn't. This is how you get better. This is the requisite experience for evolving and building a team and program, what the Bulls have done in these two games. So can they make this a real tight series and go at least 2-2? Yes, they can. Am I favoring them to win this? Let's not get carried away too soon.
Stephen A., how about it? And again, the terrible news. Chris Middleton, Wendy said this morning it's usually a 2 to 4 week injury.
The Milwaukee Bucks should still win this series without Chris Middleton. You're the reigning defending champions. You should be able to do it. These Chicago Bulls are tough. There's no doubt about it. I see this series now going 7 games. I think that they'll split in Chicago and then protect their home courts in games 5 and 6 respectively before coming back to Milwaukee for game 7 where Giannis closes the deal. But I do think that this series could go 7 games because I think that, you know, the first 2 games are indicative of what we should expect. DeMar DeRozan and those boys weren't what we expected them to be in game 1. He comes out, he plays lights out in game 2, drops 41, gets another 20 from Zach LaVine. And then I think when you look at it from that perspective, you look at the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks, where were they? And so to me, I look at Zach LaVine, I look at Vucevic, I look at DeMar DeRozan and some of the defensive piranhas that they could have on that team, and they could make it very, very interesting. But in the case of Milwaukee, you still got Bobby Portis, you got Lopez and those guys there. I'm just looking at them, Wes Matthews, Portis, Drew Holiday, of course. You've got enough people on the Milwaukee Bucks, along with the experience, you should be able to win this series in 7 games.
What do you think, Jalen?
I was about to say the Bulls not winning another game. That's really what I want to say, but I want to give credit to them, and I'll say Bucks in 6.
Even without Middleton?
Even without Middleton. Like, the Bulls have struggled against the best teams in the league, and the Bucks have Giannis, who just lost a basketball game, and he's about to be dominant. Mm. Vucevic played well. Caruso played well. I want to give DeMar DeRozan a ton of credit for the way he got buckets, and Bobby Portis is hopefully going to return from an injury, but I believe that the Bucks are still in cruise control in this series.
All right, we will see. Guys, I cannot thank you enough for doing this. Michael Wilbon, get some rest. We will see you tomorrow night. Stephen A., we'll see you in 5 minutes.
Yes, indeed.
For First Take.
Good morning,
Jalen,
my brothers.
We will see you on Jalen and Jacoby later today. Fabulous stuff this morning. And then, of course, tomorrow night, we got a trio of game 3s. We got the Heat Hawks to start things. We got Bucks Bulls on ABC. We got Suns Pelicans late. We will be here to start it all off with NBA Countdown. It's all available on Deportes and radio and the app. Impact with the NBA playoff here on ESPN. And Stephen A. and First Take coming up in just moments. Is the Celtic defense too much for KD? How far can Embiid carry the Sixers? Molly, Stephen A., and Wilbon will be there too. First Take in 5 minutes on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, a couple of our featured upcoming NHL matchups tonight. Two of the best in the East square off, the Leafs and the Lightning at 8 Eastern. And our ABC Saturday hockey matinee has the Bruins hosting the Rangers at 3 Eastern. That is available on ESPN Plus as well. A spirited morning. We thank you for getting up with us. I'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. But Stephen A. Wilbon and Molly have First Take starting now.